Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lodze. He is Derek Piper. Trevor Valise is here. He is on the so far unadvertised couch that we still need to find an advertiser for. I think it would be worth every penny because if and when people walk into the studio, they immediately are drawn to the couch. And during the show, Piper, you really don't take advantage of it.
I don't, no.
But now Trevor and I, as soon, like if it's a 3-minute commercial break, I am on that couch for 2:45 because it is so comfortable. And I just chill. I like it. It gets me in the right frame of mind.
I don't want to get too relaxed.
Well, right.
All right. It must be what it is.
That's what it is. Speaking of relaxed, we had 4 days off. We had Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday. We all had plans, so we just decided, hey, let's take a little break here in the middle of summer, get geared up for football to come around. So that's what we're getting ready for now. And, in fact, Coach Brett Bielma, he met with the media this weekend. We're going to let you hear that segment. George McDonald, Coach McDonald, met today with the media. And, you know, if you look at this, and there's a lot of question marks on this Illinois team, as there are every season going in, but certainly how is that wide receiver room going to play out? And it's going to be an important part and an important piece of Illinois football if this team is going to do what they want to do, and that's to get at least 6 wins and get to a bowl game. So we'll hear from Coach McDonald and see what he has to say about that as we go along. Before we get there, so we'll hear from Coach Mack. I'm just going with Coach Mack. I'm not sure if he goes by that, but Coach McDonald at 4:30, Coach Bielma at 5:05. Before that, I want to ask you a question. You've got your Cardinals baseball hat on. The trade deadline is tomorrow. Is it 5 p.m. our time or 4 or 3 or something?
I think it's 5 p.m., yeah. 5.
So, to date, unless something just broke in the last 2 minutes and I haven't seen it, to date, there has been no trade with Juan Soto and the St. Louis Cardinals. In fact, there's been no trade in general with the St. Louis Cardinals. Before we get to trades in general, all right, whether it be for a starting pitcher, maybe a backup catcher, et cetera, I want to ask you, on the Juan Soto, are you disappointed right now that it hasn't been made? And the closer you get to the deadline, are you changing your mind on if or not you want to make this? I don't know that I've ever asked you personally, do you want to make this trade?
I do.
If it costs you Gorman, I think the more you read into it, I think Carlson's gone. I think Gorman is gone. I don't think you lose Walker and maybe not Mason Wynn, because I think you're giving him Gorman and you're giving them Carlson, two ready-made major league players. And then you're going to give him maybe McGreevy and maybe another kid down there, maybe even a Liberator. I mean, they're best friends, right? He and Gorman, so they might as well hang together. So with that said, you still want this to happen with Juan Soto, because the closer it gets to the deadline, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of changing. I wanted it. Now I feel like I'm almost changing my mind, going, you know what, just give me a couple decent starters and let's see what you got.
Interesting. Are you getting cold feet? Are you getting hesitant?
I
understand
I
why there is some there is some challenge for the Cardinals front office to decide how aggressive they want to get.
Yes.
And what they're willing to mortgage as far as their future for what might just be a 2.5-year window for Juan Soto if you're not going to be the team that ultimately inks him. I know that I was reading some Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic this past weekend, and he concerned me with what he wrote about the Cardinals in particular, and then he followed up on Sunday and wrote about Soto and was saying that, in his mind, the San Diego Padres are the favorite in terms of how aggressive they are with their farm system. Now, if you look at the top 100 prospects by MLB.com going into the year, I think the Cardinals had 5 in the top 100. The Padres had 4, and the Cardinals have the highest ranked of the two teams, that being Jordan Walker, who's a top 10 prospect. But if he's not going to be in that mix, that makes me even more willing to do the trade.
Okay.
Not that I don't really like what I've seen from Nolan Gorman already. I don't think Carlson's going to be a star.
I don't either.
And we've discussed this, and while it's still early in his career, and he gives you defense, and he gives you a decent bat, and he's going to continue to progress going forward, we know that Juan Soto's a star.
Yep.
And I think that you do have to make the decision, in my mind, if you're going to be the Cardinals, and I thought this when you were in the conversations, okay, you got to give up 4 of your top 10 prospects, maybe even 5, along with the Carlson. You got to be committed to say, we're going to go out there and do everything we can to sign Juan Soto when that time comes.
Would agree.
Now, I roll my eyes, and I get why it is it's not a automatic decision to say, let's give someone $500 million and commit all this money and these years and everything. He's still young, though, to where you're going to be like, all right, the Yankees are going to offer $500 million. We're going to go, all right, 501.
Okay.
505, whatever it might be, whatever it might be to
take. Price is right.
Right, exactly. 501 penny. What do you got next?
Is that good enough? Now, I reserve the right to go back to being excited about making the trade. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Trevor's laughing
at me.
Because it's so hard. It's so weird. And I think if you gave me – have you ever seen those things where you're like, all right, here's 6 – vacation opportunities, which one would you choose? You know, one of them's got a beach and a beach bar, or one of them's got hiking and, you know, a hot tub and you'd make fire. I mean, and then you have to pick the right one. It's so hard because there's like 3 of them. You're like, no, I want that. So I guess if you could tell me right now, all right, Lon, here's the 3 things the Cardinals are throwing out for Juan Soto. Here's list number 1. That includes Walker, let's say. List number 2 doesn't. It includes Gorman and includes Carlson, et cetera. Here's list number 3. I think I would feel better there than to look at that and say, okay, look, if it's 1 or 3, then I'm good with this. If it's 2, I don't know that I am. But you're right when you say that. And the one thing that I keep coming back to, and you said it, this, how many times have, well, I mean, 100 times, the Cardinals made a deal where you get a kid or you get a guy for 1 year. And how many times have we, as Cardinals fans, and I know it drives Trevor and a lot of other fans nuts, when we say, oh, we'll get him to town. Once we get him here, they're going to re-sign with us. They'll even sign, not only just re-sign, they'll re-sign a team-friendly deal because St. Louis is the best town to play baseball in. So Juan Soto's not going to do that. But the idea that you're getting more than just 1/2 of a season, in fact, 2.5. So 3 postseasons out of Juan Soto gives me, am I emphasizing the T too much? Probably Juan Soto. How about that? It gives me more confidence that, yes, I do want to make this deal. But I truly keep going back. Just ask me what hour it is. If it's an odd number hour, then I'm probably not wanting to make the trade. If it's an even number, which it is, maybe I am wanting to make the trade. I mean, that's just kind of where I'm at on this. And I thought for sure you'd have a deal as soon as the Nationals-Cardinals series got done. So that put a little bit of worry into me that Mozeliak and Rizzo or whatever did not figure out. I mean, they were sitting in Rizzo's box shaking hands at the end. I mean, that was like the picture of Twitter for the weekend. Oh, my gosh, they just shook hands. Well, I do that a lot with people. Doesn't mean we just made a Major League Baseball trade. So I just thought for sure that series would end. And then, because I think it would be awkward on Saturday to trade Juan Soto and you trade Gorman and Carlson, and the next day they're both playing for the other team. I just think that would be weird. So I thought once Sunday's game got done, an announcement would be made. No announcement was made. And now I'm starting to wonder, I think maybe the Padres are the team that are going to get him.
And we'll talk more about the move the Padres just made today,
yes,
getting Josh Hader from the Brewers.
What?
That's one. It's like, oh, wow, really? The Brewers moving on from Hader? Now, he's going to be a free agent in 2 years, and they do have Devin Williams in the back
right
of their bullpen.
He's been
but
good. Oh, man. And they got a good closer
they
back.
They did, and Taylor Rogers. But the Padres
not,
are...
They're not Hader. They're not Josh
no,
Hader.
No, no. I mean, he's absolutely electric. And the Padres are in all-in, win-now yes. mode and have been very aggressive. And I tip my cap, my Cardinals cap, mm-hmm. to them in that approach. And I understand not wanting to sell off too much and then be in a situation where, say, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but what if Arenado opts out of his deal?
Right.
And what if Soto, you trade for him and you end up giving up, whether it is that deal with Carlson and Gorman and then some prospects, or maybe it is Jordan Walker, whatever it might be, and he doesn't re-sign with you, and then Goldie's getting older, mm-hmm. and what are you left with after Soto goes to, say, the Yankees for $500 million? I understand
Great
that
point.
Angst Great that point. Might be created in your mind by it as well, but I want to see the Cardinals get aggressive. I want to see them have one of the best players
That's
in
fair.
Baseball paired with Goldie and Arenado. And it's kind of that same narrative that we've been going on for the last couple of weeks. Is
That's fair.
You're in a prime spot for those two and then add another one to your lineup. And do you have the pitching to then go far? I'd still be very skeptical of that. Mm-hmm. But it's not a very good pitcher's market either.
No.
Just probably the best one, at least in terms of long-term value, Frankie Montas, just went to the Yankees.
Yep.
Now, there are some rental options out there. I'd love to see what the asking price is for Carlos Rodon mm-hmm. off of the Giants. And I know that he can opt out after this year, but if you get him for the rest of the stretch run, that's someone that has proven he has the talent at the front of your rotation. That'd be a big need for the Cardinals for sure.
Huge.
I'm in the let's do it mode, though.
Okay.
And I'm not entirely surprised that it would go all the way up until the final day, because the Nationals can sit there and weigh
Good call.
Different packages from the Padres, the Cardinals.
Yep.
There's still talk of the Dodgers, like, lingering in the weeds here, which, man, if he goes to the Dodgers, just throw up on the floor. How do they still have – I get it with the money. They can just go sign people,
they
the assets to continue to pull off some of these moves. I mean, they went out and got Scherzer and Trey Turner. If I'm the Nationals, like, do we really want to keep doing business with you?
Because right.
the result of that was I think the Dodgers won that trade.
You're ripping. That's why the Sabres haven't traded with the Blues in a while and won't. Yeah, it's like, okay, wait, you got too much out of that.
I'm just – I keep reading, and it's not always of the people like a Ken Rosenthal or reporters who are saying this, because it's even Cardinals fans who are like, this is just not how Bill DeWitt has done business. This is not what the Cardinals have done in terms of committing to these long-term contracts. It's like
– And see, I'm not even – I'm with
you. I don't care.
Right. I know you're reading that because I know it's out there. On this one, a lot of times in the past, I have always come back to that. And I always did worry about that. But then you come to the point where it's like, not my money. It's not my $500 million. So what's it matter to me if we give Juan Soto a 12-year $500 million, except if you're a smart person and you understand that normally by the end of those contracts, there's three or four albatross years where it's like, oh, we're paying him 40-some million a year and he's not doing anything. I mean, Pujols just had that with the Angels. So, I mean, I get that. I get that part of it. But it's interesting. Okay, so I want to ask you this. Do you think that Mozeliak came to the table and said, you're not getting Walker or you're not getting Wynn, but you can have anybody else? Go. And do you think maybe that is what has – I mean, we'll never know. You know, we always – the proverbial fly on the wall, if a fly could talk and or write. I mean, we need to put something in there that could actually – like a GoPro – But the point is, I mean, I wonder if, like, Mozeliak sat down with Rizzo and immediately just said, before we start going, Walker's off the table. He is not leaving our organization. He is going to be in this organization for the next 12 years. He's our next Juan Soto, in other words. So he's not going anywhere. So you go from there and tell me what you want. And here, everybody else is available to a degree, obviously. I wonder if that's the case.
I don't know. I think that we have read and heard the Nationals do want some major league ready help. So they mm-hmm. want someone like a Carlson or someone like Gorman. They can slot into yep. their lineup right away and know. Because while we talk about prospects, and some are very forecastable, if that's even a word, as far as like, I would think Jordan Walker is going to come up and be a really good player, like based on all that we've heard and how he's been graded out by scouts and everything. But we don't truly know until he's in a major league lineup and he's facing that caliber of pitching of whether he's going to be everything he's hyped up to be. Now you've gotten to see a little bit more of Gorman's. So maybe that makes the Nationals feel better. Not to say that he outweighs Jordan Walker, but a Mason Wynn, yeah, he threw 100 and whatever from shortstop in a futures game. But other than that, I don't know a whole lot about him, honestly. Yeah. So I'd rather keep Gorman. I don't know how John Mozeliak is thinking about this and digesting it and everything, but if you're to that point of you're starting to cross names off the list of who's available and who's not, then I understand why you're not the favorite to potentially land them. And I'm not, and we're just speculating here.
Right.
Maybe that's why there's been a hang up, or maybe that's why it's not gotten done, because I think if the Cardinals were or are all in on this, they should come away with him.
Yeah. Well, I just personally, for me, I mean, Juan Soto, I understand that he is, you know, arguably the best player in baseball, and he's 23 years old. But for me, I don't think if I'm the Cardinals, it's you know, you get your whatever, what is it, and you get cake and you get to eat it too or whatever. If you're giving Walker away, I mean, if he's in this deal, then I'm not ready to just give them Carlson and Gorman. Like, so it's either, to me, it's almost like, all right, we'll throw you Carlson and Gorman because they have proven themselves at a major league level to a degree. But because of that, then we're pulling Walker off the table. Like, you don't get all those guys. And
it should be like that.
To a degree, because, and again, this is what's fun about this. Like, we could sit here for 2 hours going back and forth on this. The only thing we don't have is a cold beer in front of us, which would be perfect. But I'm just saying, you could go back and forth. And if you're the Cardinals, like you said, go for broke, because Goldie and Arenado have, what, 2 or 3 years, if Arenado opts back in, 2 or 3 years to really go at it, right? Or you just say, well, then we're not mortgaging the future, and we're going to hope that Jordan Walker and Mason Wynn and Carlson continue to do his things, and Gorman continues to do his things, and we're just going to rely on those kids to kind of fill gaps, because I don't – Jordan Walker's 20. I don't think he's that far. I mean, he's in the big leagues next year. So, I mean, it's too bad you just can't say, here's O'Neill and Bader.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it. We have to find somebody else who that gets. Maybe that gets Trey Mancini, who just went to the Astros, but it might not even do that.
I woke up to the news, was it Saturday or Sunday? I woke up to the news that Tyler O'Neill left the game due to leg cramps. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, take care of your body. I used to get leg cramps in fast pitch softball. You know why? Because the night before, after we played two games, I drank, 12 beers. And then the next day, I didn't put enough water in my system. I'm not saying Tyler O'Neill's doing that.
Maybe he was watching the Pete Alonso, like, deadlifts. He was doing those in between at bats, and then that caused a little cramp. Exactly. O'Neill, I wouldn't make the joke of, like, he's the guy that neglects the legs.
No, I was
going to
say.
I definitely shouldn't be making jokes about that in general. Right. But, I mean, definitely the upper body is very prominent with him. I would imagine the lower body's is very strong as well. So it's not a situation like that. Let me turn this and ask you one more question as far as the approach with Soto is, if Flaherty was healthy, if Hudson bounced back off of Tommy John in a better situation than he is, does that change? And I know this is hypothetical and it's probably a dumb exercise, but maybe that in my mind, because the one thing you could argue for the Soto trade is, like, the Cardinals, is their lineup great? No.
No.
It's inconsistent for sure.
Big time.
If they had more pitching, then maybe you can convince yourself, well, just one more big bat would be the final icing on the cake of a World Series contender. Because you could make this trade and say they still don't have maybe enough, or you'd still have to then go in and say, we're going to outscore people. The rotation's going to be a little dicey. Does that give you pause knowing that the pitching would still be such a decently significant concern?
Not really, because if you give me a lineup that has Goldie, Soto, and Arenado in the middle, then I'm going to war with anybody. And I'm hoping that Waino, I mean, Michaelis starts game one, right, of the playoffs. Waino probably game two. You've got, who am I forgetting here? Well, you got Hudson, or you've got,
You got Andre Pallante.
I don't want him. Okay. Well, I mean, he's decent. He's just coming off a great appearance.
Well, the thing is, like, Flaherty, if he doesn't come back.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
Steven Matz.
He's done. He's having MCL surgery or whatever. I think he's done.
You'd have to make either another move to go get more pitching, or that is your problem. You start stopping after, we're going to throw Waino and Michaelis, and then it's like, all right.
And Dakota, I guess. I guess you'd have to go Dakota.
He's not been very good.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't.
So, it's a 7-game series. We can't just run out two starters like 1960.
I mean, I guess where you're getting me to is the crux of the problem, in the sense that the Cardinals' payroll is $100 million less than the Dodgers. And not only that, I give the Dodgers credit because they also bring kids up. I mean, a lot of their pitching core, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of these kids coming up were brought up through the Dodgers system, or at least traded, I guess, when they were young. Maybe that was it. But I don't know enough about it to argue that point. But, I mean, but, the, you know, you don't have – the Cardinals don't have – well, they do, but they're not going to spend another $100 million to go get – like, they didn't do that for Scherzer. I mean, that tells you right there. We're not spending that kind of money on Max Scherzer. And to me, that was as no-brainer of a thing as I've ever seen. Because if you and I have talked about, when the Cardinals have done well in the postseason, they've always had that ace, right? They've had Chris Carpenter. They've had Adam Wainwright back when he was an ace. You go back through the years, guys, for the most part, that were clearly the guy that you gave the ball to on day one. I assume that's Michaelis, and he's proven it so far this season as an all-star. But I don't know that there's a big drop-off between Michaelis and Waino, and maybe even Dakota Hudson. I mean, Waino's 7-8, right? I know it's not all about wins and losses. That's the problem. You don't have that guy at the top that when you go into a playoff series. So, but back to your point, I think then at that point, I don't think you're going to get that guy. He's not out there. That's where the Flaherty injury even drives me more nuts than what it should, because he's basically changed. I mean, just because of that, you might not get Soto. I mean, the Cardinals might be sitting there going, well, we don't have the pitching to win in the playoffs, so why are we going to trade everybody to get Soto and lose just to make it an extra game? I mean, that's the frustration with Jack Flaherty, is the sense that he should be your ace. He should be the ace. He should be the guy that takes the ball in game one of the playoffs, and then you look at Michaelis game two, Waino game three, and maybe if you need to, Dakota Hudson. Now all of a sudden everything falls into place. But unfortunately, Flaherty can never stay healthy. And so you're in a major problem there with trying to get, I don't know, I guess maybe you just get Soto and outslug people.
Maybe. Or I understand maybe you're going to say, we bite the bullet this year. Mm-hmm. We try to add enough pitching to give us a chance and hope our lineup with how it's currently constructed, which when enough pieces are hitting,
yeah,
can be a decent lineup. Especially because you still have Arenado and and Goldie in the middle, and Gorman. I feel good about him. And I guess maybe one thing you could say is we'll have those two marquee players in the middle of our order, and then we'll be a little bit more affordable and young with Gorman, with Carlson, Jordan Walker coming up next year, Brendan Donovan. Like, we got names who are young players who will be affordable for us, and then we can go out and spend money on pitching going forward. But still, I wonder for Mozeliak if, one, he feels urgency because the Cardinals have won one postseason series in the last 6 or 7 years, which I continue to harp on.
Right.
Or is there actual pressure on him? Mm-hmm. Because externally, there's a lot of Cardinals fans who are starting to point the finger at him, which I think is deservedly so. We've discussed this. Because sometimes people like that who feel pressure then make a splash move to try to then say, all right, let's win down and get some heat off of me.
Exactly.
I wonder if he's considering that at all.
I think making the move for Arenado and getting Goldie tells you that where you need to be. You need to go. You're in. I mean, you got to go in. I mean, there were times after that great run of 12 years where I said it on this airwaves 100 times. I'm like, look, I mean, I'm going to give the Cardinals and Mozeliak the benefit of the doubt for 2 or 3 years. They're not going to – nobody does. Nobody continues to dominate every year. I mean, the Dodgers, as good as they are, have won one World Series in the last, what, since 88? I mean, now, if they turn around and win it again this year, but they didn't last year. So, I mean.
Boiler up.
It's not easy to win World Series.
It's not.
And
but to be in the mix for them, because they've been in the mix for it every year here recently.
But I kept extending out every year. Okay, I'm going to give Mo one more year. I'm going to give him one more year. And then finally, I'm like, no, you've got Arenado. You've got Goldie. You got to go for it. So if that means adding Soto and going for it, then go for it. So there, now it's 4 o'clock. And now I want
that. You said go for
it. You have worked me back into the trade of doing the trade. Maybe while we were talking, it happened.
I just don't want to be stuck in. I've seen some of the, all right, if they're not going to get Soto, if they're not going to get Montas, which isn't happening because he's in the Yankees, then maybe they could get – now, Rodon, That'd as my, right. my eyebrows raise a little bit. Jose Quintana is another name out there.
Yeah.
I know his ERA is solid this year.
You're essentially picking up a third guy for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Who's good enough to be your third starter in the playoffs? Is there a free agent out there that, is there a guy out there that you would take that you would feel comfortable? Rodon, you would. I think.
When he's at his best, he'd be the best pitcher on our team.
Yeah. So he'd be the guy then. Because I keep hearing these other names and I'm like, eh.
I know. That's the point. That's where
I feel like they're
fearful of you're going to get a couple of starters and then maybe a bullpen arm. You're like, let's go for it.
I mean, I feel like they're a little bit better than what Lester and Happ gave you last year. The names I've heard. Now, Rodon would definitely be. But is that really enough? Is that enough? I don't know. But like you said, if you can get Soto, I think then you don't stop there. You do try to get a Rodon and then really go for it. And see what happens. And then you and I in 4 years won't know anybody on the Cardinals. That'll be the frustration there. All right, last thing, Josh Hader traded by the Brewers. Why?
I'm guessing they don't want to pay what ultimately is going to be his open market free agent cost here in 2 years. He's making like $11 million this year, projected through arbitration, make $16 million next year.
Mm.
And there's also something.
That's a lot for Milwaukee.
That's a lot.
It is.
And when they have a very good bullpen arm in Devin Williams, I think he's gone like 30 straight scoreless innings or something like that, ridiculous. That helps them make the decision and say, well, we probably don't want to commit that much. I think they got more years of control with Williams, and maybe they want to allocate that money to their lineup,
yeah.
I guess, essentially. And they're a smaller market team for sure. And I know that Rosenthal reported that one thing that's frustrated them with Hader is Hader has essentially been very vocal in that I don't really want to throw multiple innings at a time. I want to throw one inning.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
And I understand why he probably looks at Andrew Miller. The Cardinals got post Cleveland when they went on their run to the World Series.
Used him like Bruce Sutter.
They used him so much and for multiple innings, and he wore down.
He did.
So if that's kind of how it played out, but I know that people are saying and pointing to the fact that Hader's got his worst CRA so far of his career, but that's really been a small within the last week or so. He's gotten
you need
dinged
three
up.
Outs in the ninth. I'm giving the ball to Josh Hader.
He's still just filthy.
The one thing I would think about that is what is this telling the Brewers, the players? Like, hey, you guys are three games up in the division. We feel like you're going to win the division, but we're getting rid of Josh Hader. Now, and again, Williams has been great. You're getting a good closer back, a pretty good guy back. Plus, what is it, Rodgers? Plus, probably some young kids that aren't going to help you right now, but down the road. So, I mean, I get that, but it's just strange. Like, I try to always put things into my favorite team's perspective so that I understand it better. It would be like if Jordan Hicks was untouchable or Jason Mott during the World Series run that was getting a save every time he went out. And at the break, you're just like, well, we just traded Jason Mott. And it's like, for what? Why? Like, who's going to close the game?
Yeah.
And even though you had maybe an eighth inning guy, I mean, I'm making this up, but Zepchinski, let's say you had that eighth inning guy that was doing his thing. I still know that Jason Mott went out there and got me saves. And I know that Josh Hader is a guy nobody wants to face. Nobody. Nobody wants to face him.
That's the thing. We can't even really relate him to.
No.
He's far better than Jason Mott ever was.
Yep.
He's been better than Jordan Hicks.
Yep.
Even you go early 2000s, if the Cardinals would have said, yeah, we got Steve Kline, so let's get rid of Jason Isringhausen.
Yeah. I mean,
for the Brewers, it's been, if we get to the eighth inning and we got Devin Williams and Josh Hader, the game is over.
You're done. You know what? It reminds me of the Astros back with Biggio and those guys. Who did they have? It was one of the guys that, they had Billy Wagner in the ninth. And then in the eighth was the guy that was actually on the Cardinals when they won the World Series with Zepchinski and Edwin
Octavio
Jackson.
Dotel.
That's it. I mean, they would come out with Dotel on the eighth and Billy Wagner in the ninth. You're done. So basically it's a seven-inning game, right? I mean, they just need to be up after seven. And so it's weird to me. But, hey, I guess maybe they have to look at it like that because they know they're not going to be able to afford him. But you've got him for two more postseasons. It's strange. I don't know, man. There's a lot.
That would be really frustrating to be a first-place team and to lose that electric of an arm and you're back into the bullpen.
I just wonder what a guy like Andrew McCutchen would say to this. you know, a veteran that's been around, that's won. I wonder what he would say to this or how he feels about Josh Hader just being traded. I mean, do you sit there and think, well, maybe he sits there and thinks, you know what, it's not a big deal. Williams is just as good, and we're adding another arm. I mean, they feel like, I mean, the Brewers have done a good job of stock, you know, just stacking arms, both starters and relievers, but I don't
they
know.
Have,
but just be weird.
They might have missed a win now that Hader's out of the mix. Mm-hmm. Missed a window last year where they were a pretty popular pick to win the World Series, yes, because of how their rotation stacked up, because of how good their bullpen was, and they surprisingly lost to the Braves in that first round of the playoffs. And now they've had injuries this year, so they haven't been quite the same in terms of their pitching. And then to lose Hader is, that's tough.
But you, like you said, you go into a series and line up their three stud starters and know that you've got Williams and Hader in the end, you're basically favored to win every game. In that
sense. You're looking at your lineups. Give us four runs.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's, wow. But, hey, as a Cardinals fan, I'm like, okay. I'm sure Arenado and Goldie and these guys are like, okay, I'm fine with not having to face Hader 12, 13, 14 more times or whatever it is, however many more games they have against the Brewers.
Oh, I'm perfectly glad of not seeing – it always seems like you play at Milwaukee in April.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a day game, and the sun is shining through the glass windows at the top, and you can't see. And then Hader comes in, and you can't see the ball anyway, and it's just, all right, there's three outs. There's three strikeouts.
How weird would that be, being up to bat in that? Knowing he's like, I don't want to do this.
We've seen it so many times.
Oh, my goodness. All right, that was a heavy, long segment. And Trevor is just still on the couch. I can't see him, so I'm sure he's over there yelling at me, but it's like it's countdown's on for Trevor. By the way, Friday we're going to honor Trevor Valise. And if you weren't with us last Wednesday, we had Thursday, Friday off. Trevor has accepted another position, and we are super excited for him. I know he's excited about it. It's a great move in his career. And unfortunately, though, that means that he is done with us. So that stinks. That's going to not be something that's easy to replace. And there's more to Trevor than just you hear him asking questions or talking on our sports radio show. There are so many behind-the-scenes things. In fact, him talking on the radio show is such a minor thing of what he does for our entire station, not just the sports area, but the entire station in general. Isaac Ambrose, who's been a friend of ours for a long time and has interned and has done a lot of things with us, is going to try to kind of fill the shoes of Trevor Valise for a while. We're excited that we had Isaac as a as kind of that guy that can step in, hopefully, and do this. And I know he's going to train with Trevor, but certainly we're going to miss Trevor. And for you and I, more than anything, just having him here every day. And, you know, we all three lead ourselves down horrible betting paths. So that's just.
We've got to come up with a new name for our betting segment.
Pipes ticket.
No?
Well, we'll
think about it.
Tay's parlay. The Tay parlay. I mean, you can rhyme that, I guess.
Yeah, it's got some ring to it, for sure.
But we're going to honor Trevor. I mean, I'm going to say at least 10 words Friday. Nice words about Trevor.
Before you cry, yeah.
Yeah, no crying. No, I'm done with that. I'm too old. I'm too old not to cry. So, Trevor, I'm not crying over you.
Cried enough when Hans left.
Right. That damaged me for a weekend. Now, all of a sudden, Trevor's leaving. It's like, come on, guys. All right, when we come back, George McDonald, Illinois wide receiver coach, spoke to the media today. Wanted to get a chance to hear that. I really am interested in what he's going to say. Now, is he going to tell you that everything's great and that he's got four All-Americans right now? They look like it, at least in practice? Sure. But I do want to hear. Usually Coach McDonald's pretty real with us. So I'm anxious to hear that. We'll do that when we come back. If you want to weigh in, 217-359-2255. That's the U of I Line and Link text line. The Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line, same number, 359-2255. Find us on Twitter, at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPN. See you!
I'm at D Piper 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tanepiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyj.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
I downloaded a hotkey today. Take that, Trevor! Yes! It's The Drive.
Hey, this is Tim Sinclair, public address voice of Fighting Illini Basketball. You're used to hearing me talk about my favorite team during the games, but now I'll also be talking about my favorite fan store before the games. I've teamed up with Game Day Spirit to get you ready for the season. Just head to one of Game Day's two locations, at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or at 6th and Green in Campustown. Or check out GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, official fan store of the Fighting Illini.
If your car breaks down or needs to be repaired, trust the experts at Beaumont Alignment Plus to step up. For routine maintenance like tune-ups, oil changes, brakes, or tires, you can count on Beaumont. They'll also service bigger issues like alignment, suspension work, starters, or transmission problems. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for all your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. You can trust the dedicated family-owned team of professionals at Beaumont Alignment Plus. Online at BeaumontAlignment.com.
At Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people with amazing service, great design advice, and unbeatable selection, and the best prices in town. It's the perfect time to update your home with waterproof flooring, carpet, hardwood, tile, and more. Then complete your rooms by shopping our incredible selection of furniture and accessories. We also offer great financing options. Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people.
A very special night is coming to the Long Branch Steakhouse in Gifford. Owner Donnie Curtis is inviting nurses for a free dinner at the Long Branch on Monday, August 22nd. 40 nurses are invited for a steak dinner to say thank you for what you do, for caring for so many, and for all you've endured over the past few years. If you are a nurse and you would like a free steak dinner, text in NURSE to 217-359-2255, and we'll be glad to reserve your spot. Thank you, nurses, for all you do from the Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
It's a stress-free summer at Merle Norman Cosmetics. Looks are effortless with the 2022 Explore Color Collection. Ask about the limited edition 12-shade Exploration Eye Palette with guided labels for precise application. Next, swirl on neutral or berry cheek trio blush and finish with one of the new plant-powered tinted lip balm colors for shiny, nourished lips. Shop the Explore Color Collection while supplies last at Merle Norman, 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign, over by Subway.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he had a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Have you been to the Long Branch Steakhouse? The Long Branch Steakhouse happens to be a family-owned restaurant in the small town of Gifford that just happens to serve up incredible steaks. We're talking fresh, hand-cut steaks served to perfection. So if your fantasy is to have a great meal in a great family restaurant in a great small community, visit the Long Branch Steakhouse. Oh, and don't forget to ask for the frog dressing, the Brussels sprouts, and the incredible macaroni and cheese. The Long Branch Steakhouse, located in beautiful downtown Gifford.
Stop into Game Day Spirit to shop the hottest selection of Fighting Illini gear in town. They carry classics from great brands like Nike, Champion, Carhartt, and more. And with the new styles arriving daily, they're sure to have something for every Illini fan. Shop with them in-store at the corner of 6th and Green in Campustown, Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I get excited to come to work every day because it allows me to improve my skill every day, becoming better at the job so we can give better patient care to the patients that come in to get their blood drawn.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra, visit carl.org/careers.
Hail to the orange.
And the Illini in the debut of Brett Bielema celebrate a win.
Hail to the blue.
They have upset number 7.
Hail alma mater.
The land of Lincoln Trophy. Back in Champaign where it belongs.
Fighting Illini football tickets on sale now with ticket packages as low as $22 per game for all 7 home games. Get tickets at FightingIllini.com. Hail to the orange.
Hey, this is Tim Sinclair, public address voice of Fighting Illini basketball. You're used to hearing me talk about my favorite team during the games, but now I'll also be talking about my favorite fan store before the games. I've teamed up with Game Day Spirit to get you ready for the season. Just head to one of Game Day's two locations, at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or at 6th and Green in Campustown. Or check out GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, official fan store of the Fighting Illini.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay, Derek Piper to my left. Trevor Valise now straight ahead, not on the couch, acts like he's doing work. So I guess that's what he has to do in his final week. He's got, you know, we're not letting him just sail off in the sunset. You got to do some work. There are some visitors for Illinois basketball on campus right now. Next hour, I'm going to let Derek Piper tell you who is on campus and what that means for Illinois basketball and for Brad Underwood's staff. We'll definitely do that. Derek, 0 to 10. 10 means, oh, yeah, they're going to every week perform. 0 obviously means bad. Where are you at with this Illinois wide receiver crew now? Isaiah Williams, of course, the big one. Casey Washington. You've got some younger kids, I think. You've got some transfers coming in. You know, Sean Miller's a young freshman coming in. You've had a couple transfer. I mean, where are you at?
For Isaiah, I'm probably at a 6 or a 7.
Good call. I think he's going to be big.
Yes.
Big. Now, I just worry about people being able to cover him because they're going to double, I guess, yeah, set a linebacker down on him, and then I don't know. I think he's going to be fine.
I think he's going to be really good,
mm-hmm,
and continue to hone in on his skills as a wide receiver. You'll probably see more polish out of him.
Yes.
And hopefully a more capable quarterback to get him the ball and an offensive coordinator that really prioritizes that as well. Beyond him, I'm at like a 2.
Okay.
Because I don't know. While Casey Washington has had a couple of flashes, he still hasn't caught a touchdown at Illinois. He did have the important 2-point conversion that won the game at Penn State, so that's certainly a feather in his cap. But beyond that, do you have a receiver that is a Big Ten caliber receiver as a starter?
Yeah.
And I don't know that to be the case.
That's fair. Well, the guy that's trying to get this room ready for the season is George McDonald, former Illini wide receiver. Of course, he spoke today to the media regarding his crew.
How big was the summer being able to work with a ball for the first time ever? How much further along are you on day 3 of fall camp than you've ever been before?
I think we're really far along. You know, I think in terms of just understanding the intricacies of running routes and being crafting and creating separation, I think those guys have done a really good job working together and then working as with the new rules. So it feels like you don't need as much individual, so we're able to start a little bit faster when we started practice on Sunday in terms of what we had, where we started with from a fundamental standpoint.
What do you get in Jonah Morris? Basically?
Big physical receiver. You know, he runs well. He's big. He attacks the ball in the air. So it's been fun watching his development over the last couple of days.
How about Cody Case? Same.
Cody's good. I mean, he has really short, good short area quickness, very competitive. You know, he's faster than what I thought now that I see him live. Tough player. He made a nice couple nice blocks today. So adding those guys, I think, improves the room just because now you got more guys who've actually played in college football at whatever level, but they just bring a little different intensity and a little different urgency for the whole group to develop and grow.
Who's standing out among the freshmen right now?
I mean, they're all doing a good job. You know, it's hard judging the freshmen because you really have two waves. You have the mid-year guys like Sean and Ian who are here, so they're really like redshirt freshmen. And then you have Hank and Ashton, and both of those guys, in terms of Hank and Ashton, you know, they've all made plays. You know, Ashton made a couple nice plays today and yesterday. Hank's, you know, he's a natural ball catcher, and he's done a good job just naturally learning the position. So I've been happy with their development. And then Sean and Ian have done a good job. You know, they came in the spring, so they know kind of the rhythm and how we do things, and they've done a nice job just progressing every day and getting better. So it's been fun to watch that group, you know, for the first time all together, you know, come along.
What's the dynamic of trying to build chemistry on the field with different arms, especially if you don't necessarily who's QB1 in a month?
I tell them the ball comes, you better catch it. So the chemistry is with the ball, not the player. So, you know, that's the thing that we talk about. We're trying to build trust that whoever throws us the ball, that we're going to come down with it. And that's something that we've been talking about, you know, trying to throw the ball vertically, just going up and attacking the ball, making that catch, and just finding chemistry with the football, and then whoever's throwing it, just building that trust with that person.
How does did Sean rebound after the injury? What's he look like right now?
He's doing good. You know, he attacked the rehab with JB all summer, and he looks good. His body's good. And I think now it's just a matter of, you know, anytime you come back from an injury, it's just a matter of gaining your confidence. But from a physical standpoint, you know, he's right on track. And, you know, you see his quickness, and we got him out there, you know, doing stuff. So I think he'll be ready to go. And he keeps progressing, you know, where he left off in the spring till today. You know, he's done a lot of good things.
Isaiah said, Big Ten, that, you know, the big thing in the spring was just the tempo. And mm-hmm. just from play to play, understanding where I got to look and how do we get a signal and all this stuff in a matter of seconds instead of huddling. Was that a big deal for all you guys in your room, just trying to pick up that tempo as quickly as you could?
I think it is. You know, I think they might have played with tempo with the previous staff, but obviously you go a year and we've been huddling, so now you're relearning it. And I think a lot of it is just – it's a lot more intensity as a receiver because now whatever you made the play, now you got to get your eyes back to the signal and find the call. So it's you're more mentally engaged. You know what I mean? I think the conditioning is a little bit different, but now it's more mentally challenging because you don't get those little breaks in between plays. You really got to refocus and reset yourself to go fast.
Isaiah had his breakout year last year. Who are some candidates you think to break out this year and become a playmaker for you?
I don't know. That's the beauty of camp. You know, we have a lot of time to figure out who's making the plays. You know, I'm just happy with the overall group. You know, I think there's, you know, Isaiah had a good year last year. I wouldn't say a breakout year, but he had a good year. So, you know, we're looking for big things for him, but we're also looking for that group as a whole just to take another step in what we're trying to do offensively and really have a bigger impact on what we're trying to do based off of our production in the run and the pass game.
Casey said something interesting the other day about kind of telling us, you guys know we're still going to be predicated on running the ball. And it would seem like receiver, your self-worth sometimes gets on targets and receptions right. And touchdowns. You seem to have some buy-in in your room about the overall concept of the offense and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, you know, blocking is a non-negotiable. We're always going to run the ball. You know, we got great linemen. We got great backs. You know, I think what we're trying to do is be a little bit more balanced. But we all know in the Big Ten, you got to be able to run the ball. And to win championships, you got to run the ball. So, you know, we're committed to the run. You know, it takes 11 guys to run the ball. And then when we throw the ball, we got to make sure we're as dynamic as our running back. So I think we're feeding off the running backs. We want to be dynamic by like those guys. But when you got Chase, Josh, and then you got, you know, Jordan Anderson, and you have Aiden Loffrey, like you got some dynamic guys back there. Like if the ball comes your way, you better make sure you're on your guy so they can do what they do. Because, you know, we're going to start with the run. We're going to end with the run. But we're going to get the fans excited with the pass.
Brian Hightower had a good first year here. Last year obviously didn't go his way. What was your perspective of what he can bring to this room now after last year?
You know, Brian's another bigger receiver. He has really good ball skills. And I think he's finally, like, you know, you go through some change and it's hard to get a rhythm. You know, you got one coach, you got a different coach, that we all have our different wants. And I think now, you know, me and him both understand each other a lot better and our expectations of that I have of him and how he needs me to coach him. So I think right now he's in a really good spot. I think he had a great summer. You know, I think him, Isaiah, and Miles Scott, like they were together like the Backstreet Boys. Like every time you saw one, you saw the other. And they are really grinding and catching the ball. And I think it showed up in these three practices. So I think he's finally comfortable. You know, I think he's been through so much change. Like now, like, okay, I know who's coaching me. I know the expectation. I know the system. And I think now, you know, he's really ready to go show his abilities.
You mentioned Miles Scott. Played a lot last year. And I don't know if it's a name a lot of people know. Like, what did he show you last year?
You know, Miles has a toughness. You know, he was a good blocker. He runs good routes. He catches the ball well. So, you know, him and Pat were kind of those guys that got to that four-game mark. And then you're like, okay, who can we hold back to save and who do we need to go, because we wanted to try to figure out one. So Miles was the guy that had the ability to redshirt. You know, Pat, we continue to play. But, you know, those are two young guys that we are really excited about and excited about their continued development in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, what's Pat bring after a year of experience?
You know, experience. You know, I mean, he caught a nice ball today. He went up and high-pointed it. And I think he just has more confidence. You know, we all have more confidence going into year two. And he's played a lot. So now he knows, like, okay, I could play at this level. He knows his strengths and weaknesses of what he needs to get better at, but that he's just playing with the more confidence because now he knows that he can go out and play, and now it's just continuing to push him to continue to develop every day.
How has Daniel Edwards handled the position change? And, you know, he's kind of an intriguing guy because of the quick twitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's done good. Like, he made a nice play today. He made a touchdown pass on a double move yesterday, and the day before he made another back shoulder play. So he continues to get better. You know, I think anytime you move a player from offense to defense or defense to offense, and they haven't been a two-way player. It just takes time to get the intricacies of that position, and that's, you know, that's the hard part he's going through right now, is just not relying on natural ability, but trying to just define his talent and refine it. But he's shown flashes every day, so I'm excited to continue to work with him.
With Coach Lenny on board now, is there a big difference in the terminology and the combinations of routes that these guys have to learn?
Yeah, and no, this is his system. You know, he brought it in from UTSA, and we've kind of embraced it and adopted it, and he's done a great job of teaching it piece by piece to the players and to the coaches. So, you know, the kids have done a lot to buy in, us coaches have too, and just in terms of relearning an offense and really knowing the details so we can give the details to the kids. So it's been exciting. We go into the meeting, I learn something new every day about how the offense works and how we can attack people. So, you know, I think the kids feel the same way when we go into meetings. There's always a different wrinkle or something coming at them that keeps them on their toes and keeps them excited to go out and play.
George, you guys are obviously every position group, you're building to your image of what mm-hmm. you guys want to do, but there's been a lot of movement in your room. Like, what do you think you've accomplished so far? Just what you've added to it?
You know, I think we've added competitiveness, you know what I mean? I think, and we've taken away some of the selfishness. You know, I think that's the one thing that when you look at the room, all those guys, you know, with the portal, like they decided to be here or they decided to come here to play for me. And now we're all in going in the same direction and we're all trying to just push each other every day. And I said, if everyone's playing their best, then the best is going to show up, you know what I mean? So I think that's the thing that we're doing. Like everybody every day is pushing each other to get better, and it's forcing everybody to come in the building and play at a high level. So I think that's the biggest thing that the turnovers has caused.
I know we talk a lot about obviously the players.
That is George McDonald, of course, Illinois wide receiver coach. We're off and running, man. Football is officially here. It's funny, all summer we keep sitting there saying, man, we don't have a lot to talk about. Let's get football here. It's here. It's here,
it is,
and I'm
exciting,
ready, man.
Yeah.
30 days.
Is that right?
I think it's 30 days to the opener. Let's go.
You're going to have fully padded practices at some point. I think maybe even late this week or into the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be exciting.
Let's go.
Again, we don't hear a ton as far as reporters getting to watch a bunch of practice, but it's great to hear from the players. And
yeah.
I know that that's something we want to do as the week goes on. Keith Randolph met with the media today. He's always great.
He's the best.
Johnny Newton. And, yeah, it's just fun to get back into that football mode and start to gear up for what's hopefully an exciting season.
Without a doubt. Brett Bielema talked Saturday, kind of excited about day one, what all went into it, what he's looking forward to going forward here with the practices. When we come back, going to hear from Coach Bielema. Also, some visitors on campus for Illinois basketball and Brad Underwood. Derek Piper will fill you in on that. We'll do all that. And if a trade is made, we'll kind of recap all that, by the way, of what's been done today. Josh Hader, Milwaukee Brewers, closer, no longer. He gone. We'll do all that next. It is The Drive.
Additional greenhouse savings are going on now at Prairie Gardens. Take 40% off all perennials with fresh new shipments in bud and bloom for your summer garden. All 40% off. And save 40% off all ornamental grasses. Plus, all flowering shrubs are 25% off. Shop beautiful butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, and more. Entire stock, 25% off. Hurry in for these summer PG greenhouse savings and more right now at Prairie Gardens. Locally owned plant experts, extraordinary gardening, home decor, and more.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.